No citizens. And did we lose Mr. Rooney?
Looks like we lost our chairman.
Wow, isn't that fun?
We lose Victoria too, or is she still here?
No, Victoria's there.
There you are. I'm still here. I'm just muted. I have a yellow lab, and she doesn't realize, but she's far too old to behave the way that she does when it storms. So you don't have to listen to her barking.
So it looks like, Chief, that we would be in management attorney reports.
Yep.
Should we wait for Steve, or is Miss
Woods Victoria should be ready to comment
if there is anything. I'm waiting for Steve. He didn't give me anything additional to add. We did discuss the collection agreement. Steve Kohler from our office reviewed it. It looks like you guys have incorporated all of his comments and changes. So at this point, it's really probably ready for you guys to vote on it.
And that's later in the agenda.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else, Victoria?
That's all for us.
Okay. I'm taking over for Dan since I don't know what happened to him.
Well, Rude. I do point out that in the absence of Dan, we do not have a quorum.
Oh, great.
So we can't take any official action until Dan pops back on.
Right. We can go through the agenda, but can't take any official action.
Correct.
Maybe we can save action to the very end of the meeting. Would that make sense?
Absolutely.
We could.
Okay. Then next we have, under number four, management attorney reports, we have Chief Huff's report.
Yeah, and one addition to my report that just transpired in the last day or so. I had been contacted by the Pennsylvania Fire and Emergency Services Institute regarding participation in a roundtable meeting, a statewide roundtable meeting next week regarding some proposed legislation that's being sponsored by Representative Kearney from Delaware County. It's in response to the SR6 commission, which took a look at the provision of fire and emergency services throughout the Commonwealth and how can we do it better. And the roundtable discussion that I'll be involved in next week centers around regionalization of fire departments. And they've gone so far as to create some draft language that would enable counties within the Commonwealth to establish fire authorities or fire and emergency services authorities to help promote regionalization throughout the state. So when I got the invitation, I reached out to Solicitor Havas since he's been instrumental in everything we've done since day one with Yoffer. And asked him to maybe give me, jog my memory about some of the bullet points and some of the trials that we went through initially, dealing with the state, with, creating the intergovernmental cooperative and so on and so forth. And Steve's helped me with that. So I'm looking forward to being able to talk about what we've gone through and maybe be a part of, something bigger here in the state in the coming years. So other than that, I have nothing unless there's any questions on my report.
No. Anybody have any questions on the Chief's report? Hopefully everybody had an opportunity to read it.
Chief, I thought that was interesting with regard to that legislation. Keep me informed if there's anything that I can do relative to reaching out to any of our state reps.
I absolutely will. Thank you.
I believe, Charles, Manchester Township, our Board of Supervisors, wrote a letter to the Senator and our Rep Gillespie in favor of repealing Act 43 or doing something about it because we got a lot of negative responses on, I guess it was Monday, July the 6th or something, regarding all the fireworks.
Right, right. And that's, you know, there again, that's another ongoing thing with, that we've gotten involved with in the Commonwealth, reaching out to Representative Saylor and Representative Gillespie, and asking them to take a real hard look in support of, either repealing the act altogether because it makes no sense, or at the very least amend it to give it some enforcement teeth, because right now it has none.
It doesn't.
You know, for somebody that's going to spend hundreds of or thousands of dollars to have a party and have fireworks, $100 fine really isn't a deterrent to doing things illegally.
Okay. Is there anybody else that has anything for the chief? Any questions? All right. If not hearing any, then we're going to move on to number five, which is accounts payable. I should get my glasses on here.
Hold on a sec. Can you guys hear me?
There you go.
Oh, good.
Can you see me? I can't see my screen, but I can hear you guys.
I can see you look. I can see your laptop.
Oh. Wait a minute.
There's the roof of the camper.
How can you see the... Do I have to flip it? Hold on. Do I have it?
There you go.
No, you're right. You're now. You're
okay,
good.
Okay. I switched my iPad. The iPad seems to do better sometimes.
Okay. Hey, Dan, I took over in your absence, and we are at number five, accounts payable, listing okay. as of June 30th. So I'll let you take over.
All right. Thanks. All right. Good. Sorry about that. Okay, well, I saw the reports, so unless there was something beyond what were in the reports, I don't have any other questions. So accounts payable is the next agenda item. I guess we're looking for a motion to approve the accounts payables as provided. Is that, Chief, correct?
Yep.
I'll make a motion that we approve the payables as submitted by the chief.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? Did anybody hear a second? I'm not hearing it.
I'm looking for the actual payables list.
Oh, okay. If you have, you want to double check.
Do we have an
attachment 5A?
All right, let me see if I can find it here. 5, there it is. All right. Which page of it is it? I'm looking.
I think it's 7 and 8. It's pages 7 and 8 at the very end.
Oh, it's the 7 and 8 because you have the, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Page 5, 6, 7. Check detail. 7 and 8. How much is the payables total?
Let me look here.
Payables total. Oh, is there a summary total? On what page? That's just to check the detail.
And let me get back to my email. I think.
Does it say on that the total for?
All right. I saw Lisa sent us an email of $173,109, but that was for the typical payroll.
There should have been.
I'm seeing here Accounts payable were $37,384.99. But she, these were approved by George Dvorak, most likely. I just want to make sure I know what the amount is.
I'm looking here.
When I opened up the accounts payable, I saw a $6 million figure, and I said, that can't be right. It was actually the balance sheet.
So the check detail, I don't know if they sum up the check detail.
No, the check detail's not total.
It's not a total figure. It's just a breakdown.
Yeah, it's only subtotaled by vendor.
Well, don't we get a copy of it when George is approving it? We all get a copy. Is that of what we're asking for him to approve or sign off on? I thought we typically get it.
I'm seeing accounts payable on page one of attachment 5A, about halfway down the page under total assets.
Ah, good read of the balance sheet.
There is no actual total on the monthly one that we send every month. It's the biweekly one where you get the total.
Oh, okay, right, the biweekly.
So you're getting the whole month of June,
right? And all you have to do is approve it.
There never is an actual total on there. I can change that if you want to, but it's usually the total is on the bi-weekly one.
Yes.
So, and how much is that, Lisa? Do we know what the amount is that you need approval for?
At this moment, I can't tell you that. I'd have to go back and look at the past two payrolls for June or past payables for June.
Accounts payable on the financial position sheet shows $248,705. Does that sound right, Lisa?
Probably. I can pull up my check runs here. So that would be for June 5th. I can give you the total for that one. The June 5th one was $170,154.02. And the June 19th total was $37,642.06.
Okay. I think those were the numbers that I was tracking off of the two emails.
Right, that would be the two emails that I sent out to get approvals for, and then George goes into bill pay and approves them. And then what you get in your packets every month is just the listing of all of those combined.
Okay, so I got the one amount plus 173,109 was the other amount, correct?
I believe so. Let me go back. And that was the June 5th one. So that was, bear with me. That total was $170,154.02.
Oh, these don't match then.
Because there's also emails that you get for the payroll, which are separate from the accounts payable.
Okay. Listing of invoices here. This is an email dated 7/17. So I'm looking for.
You're looking for the one dated. The actual pay date would have been 6/5.
Seeing a request for $18,218 for Pennsylvania Municipal Retirement System.
Yeah, that was a separate one all on its own.
All right, I'm seeing the two payrolls. Now I'm starting to get the hang of this, but let's see if I find.
Yeah, I have a, it's dated 5/29 was the email for the 651 where it shows the 171-5402.
Oh, well, no wonder I'm not looking for that far. Okay.
It's always a week prior.
170-15402.
Yep. And then the next one would have been sent on 6/12 for the 37-642-06.
That was sent on 6/12.
Yes.
Well, for just for clarification, since Charles is bringing this up, what we are approving the two biweekly payrolls, is that correct?
Well, I send the emails out prior. What we've always done for your commission meetings is kind of condense all the accounts payable for the total month, and you're just, I think, basically acknowledging that it's all there.
Are we ratifying George's approval of these, or are we actually approving, we're approving for the expenses incurred and actually approving them for payment?
I can't really answer that. George approves it through bill pay. Lisa Winger is the one who always gets back to me and replies that she approved it from my emails.
Okay.
So I believe at this point, if George already approved payment, then you guys are ratifying the action that he already took.
Okay. Are we matched in terms of the action? That is to say, we're ratifying the payment of $207,796.08 tonight for the two invoices for general expenses. This does not include the payroll. Is that correct?
Correct. The payroll is not included in that.
All right. So then why do we ratify these? Or do we also ratify payroll at some point?
Have never done that through the commission meeting. That I send out the email and then that is approved mainly by Lisa and
George. So bottom line, I got a number of 207-796-08, which I'm happy to, I'd be happy to amend the motion to, I guess Lisa, would you mind if we amend your motion to include the amount of 207-796-08?
Yep, that's fine.
I would hazard against that only if you don't know the exact number that George already paid the accounts for. Unless you have what he approved or his approval email in your hand.
I don't ever get anything from him showing that he just goes in and does it himself, so I never get anything. The only person I get a response back from is Lisa.
Okay. So,
which I'm thankful for.
I also, actually, when I added up, I got a different number than you did.
Okay.
So, not you, I would recommend, I apologize, Commissioner, I got a different number than you did. So okay. I would recommend just approving the accounts receivable or accounts payable as listed as of June 30th, 2020. Because my number came out to 208-69-608. And you said 207.
Well, the accounts payable on the balance sheet are much higher than what.
Yeah, it's to the tune of about 40,000.
Yeah, that's a difference.
Per my math.
Yeah.
Well, can I guess make a suggestion? Maybe this is an issue we could revisit the next meeting and have some reconciliation so we have a clear, because you have a good point, I think, Charles, to know what we're actually approving, the actual final total figure.
So, yeah, and George usually makes the motion, and he's not here tonight, so I usually follow his lead because I know he's approved off on them. But now, so because he goes on vacation, I had to ask some silly questions. But nevertheless, yeah, I'm wondering if we can't have as an agenda item maybe the breakout, not only approval, but Lisa, could we add the actual dollar amount for June?
Absolutely, sure.
Ratification going forward.
Yep, and do you want the payroll in there as well?
Well, I guess, you know, I'm just trying to understand the practice, not saying that we need to change it. I guess, you know, I can see why maybe you don't need to ratify payroll. It's already part of the budget item. Payables are a little different because they may or may not necessarily be budget, but I don't know what the history is here.
Basically, the history is just what I've been presented just like tonight. That's been the history. So if you want to make any changes to that, by all means, just tell me what you want changed and we can make that happen.
I'm happy to defer to staff's recommendation, but I would like to confer with supervisors Dvorak, and I guess it's commissioner, well, former commissioner Hunt, as to this matter.
Okay.
So Victoria, do you have a number?
Oh, by my math, I have 208-696-08. I don't have that on. I have no idea what George has already approved.
We agree. I think, Lisa, if I trust the attorney's math over the banker's, which is higher.
I wouldn't.
Okay, Victoria, I will hate to go through this one more time, but
that's fine. So I have $171,054.02, and I have $37,642.06. Is that correct?
69608.
And
I'll go with that. If Commissioner Winger is so amenable to an amendment to the amount.
That's fine.
Okay. So with an amended second, and I would, again, suggest for next meeting, if George and Lisa could kind of come to a simplistic way of just, even if it's a summary totals, that we can then, and I also want to clarify with Lisa, we're supposed to respond by email and approve them.
Well, that's what the email states, but
okay.
Like I said, Lisa's the one usually who responds. And actually, the amount for the 170,000, it's 171,54.02. I think Victoria said 171,154. It's 170,154.02.
I'm sorry. So 170,154.
You got it.
Point all right, then my math will be wrong. Then I apologize.
No problem.
Just add 100.
Okay, it sounds like we might have a second amended motion. All right. Is there any further discussion?
We will take a look at that and see if we can't figure out a way to make it more clearly identifiable on the report.
Yeah, and I would, you know, a simple way of showing a bullet point summary to, I think, is a
right.
I don't think you guys need to pull your hair out doing extra stuff because we already get
not a problem for me.
Okay, well, let's take a vote then. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you all.
Hey, Dan, all right. Have one quick question. This is Lisa Wingert.
Okay.
When Lisa sends those out, I always look at them, make sure the dollar amount comes out to what she says, and I approve it. If I have a question, I'll email it back to the chief or Lisa. But shouldn't all of us be approving them? I guess that's a question for Victoria.
In the past, it's been at least two people were supposed to approve it.
Okay.
That's past practice. Now, if you feel you need to change that, I don't know.
No, I just wanted Well, it should be just two people or?
No, basically it's normally you, Lisa, that gets back to me by the email, yeah, and then George goes in and does the approval on the banking side.
Okay. All right. If that's fine with everybody.
Yeah, well, for all submit. Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. If we're all supposed to do it, we should make sure, I guess Austin or someone should reprimand us and tell us we should all respond, because I'm guilty. I haven't responded to, I thought it was just more informational, I guess.
And the backstop to that is that, so in theory, you all have to approve the expense, but in actuality, you're all ratifying that in your meetings. So that's the fallback there.
Okay.
To the extent that we have two eyes on the checks in the form of Lisa and George, I think that provides your dual signature control, if you will, the approval of the payments of those. So I think we have enough controls in that we don't all need to be voting on all those invoices. Rather, like we are ratifying the payment thereof, because at this point, Lisa and George have signed off on them. We're just ratifying their effort.
Yes, I agree. Hey, and this is a good time, actually, because I'm going to be covering for George is on vacation the next payroll. So I talked to him. So I will be looking at it closer because I haven't had to do it yet. So this is kind of a good topic.
Dan, just for your information, that email will be coming out on Friday. Usually it's Friday morning at some point, and then states what the check run is, and it'll say I'll change it from Mr. Dvorak to Mr. Rooney to go in and approve the payments through business bill pay.
Okay, and I have 7 minutes to approve it or else it implodes.
I think it's 5.35 seconds.
Okay. All right, I got good instruction from him, so I'm going to go into it when I get a chance and just make sure if I have questions, I'll either try to get him or you, Lisa, I guess.
Yes, definitely. And I would have to hand you off to Jamie at York Traditions because I don't see that side of things. I don't know how that actually works.
Okay. All right. Then I'll get the contact with Jamie.
But if you need Jamie's help, he would be more than happy to help you out.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you. Let's move on to our next item, bids, proposals, and contracts. I think we do have something, Chief, don't we? Is that your area?
Actually, that's under old business with the billing proposal.
Okay, that's old business.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we don't have any other?
Nothing. No.
Okay. Then we'll move on to communications from commissioners. Is there anybody who wants to share from their viewpoint? I don't have a viewpoint. I haven't been there the last month, so I don't know what the heck's going on down in the York area, so I'll defer to you guys. Okay, let's go on to our next agenda item, committee reports.
I do have a question.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Ahead.
I just unmuted. It's Lisa Wingert. Is there a possibility that we could make the next meeting in person, and those who don't feel comfortable or have a condition that they could just Zoom in?
We can double check with Steve, unless Victoria can answer that. But I thought I understood him at our agenda meeting to say that basically it has to be one or the other. If someone didn't want to attend, if they had reservations about attending the meeting, because of distancing or whatever, they could still Zoom in. But if it was an in-person meeting, we would have to have a quorum in person. Much like we do when you're out of town, Ms. Winger. You can still Zoom in and be involved in the discussion and the conversation.
Right.
But the quorum, the quorum has to be everybody online, or if it's an in-person, the quorum has to be met with the in-person group. Is that right, Victoria?
Steve, that's my understanding as well. I can follow up with Steve to verify, okay, but I believe that's correct, yeah.
All right.
Is that case law? Is that statute?
That statute, legislation came down, I want to say in April. I wrote the blog post on it, but I don't remember exactly when it was because we've been in quarantine for so long.
Okay, so they said, all right, I'll have to look. Yep. That's okay. So we have to eat one or the other. We can't do the hybrid.
I believe
so. Right. Yeah, that's what I understood from Steve last week when we had met in an agenda session.
But I can touch base with Steve to confirm as well.
Okay.
Is that something, Chief, that you would want to take a vote on the week before, just predicated on what's happening here in York and how everybody feels about it?
Oh, I'd be in favor of that, absolutely. I was actually hoping we'd be together tonight. Our meetings aren't so well attended that we couldn't maintain distance. I think we could have effectively had it as long as we're not doing any of this, some of the special, you know, recognitions and stuff that's going to pack the room. I think that's where we get into trouble. But if we're just going to have a business meeting, I don't see any reason why we can't get together and adequately follow the guidelines that are set forth for us.
I guess I understand that, but what is the compelling reason to meet in person when we have such additional flexibility and resources at our disposal, necessarily meeting from a Zoom perspective?
For me personally, I like the personal contact, but, you know. But
we're still looking for a photo op too at some point, right?
Well, and I spoke to the photographer today. She's willing to work with us if we ever get out of this situation we're in. You know, she'll come in anytime. But I got to tell you, when we were having just our staff meetings on using the Teams app or via Zoom, it just got to a point where I think things get done better when we're in person. That's just my personal opinion.
I do too.
So, but we can absolutely take that under advisement and a week out, like you said, absolutely poll everybody and see where everybody's at.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chief.
Sure.
Okay. I had a quick question. Did Mike Thomas check in? I forwarded him the link to the Zoom.
Yes, yeah, Mike Thomas is here.
Okay, I'm Mike. Here. Okay, I didn't know if you got in. I can't see.
I've got a random question. So I think this may explain a lot of the disconnect. If people are sending me information to a Yoffer address, which I don't have any awareness that I've got one. So I have the regular meeting invites that have been on my calendar through Spring Garden for months and months. But these new ones with the Zoom link and everything, I don't have any of those. And I don't feel like getting assaulted by Austin about my lack of attendance when we've already gone through this mess. So is there in fact a Yoffer address that I have?
Yes, it is. Several months ago, we established Yoffer email addresses for all the commissioners so that we could, in order to keep Yoffer business clear of any other email accounts from the standpoint of, affecting you for discovery with right to know and everything else. If you have not signed in, and I thought I was told everybody had, but if you have not checked that out yet, if you have a moment sometime this week, give us a call and we will make sure that you get the information you need to access that.
Yeah, maybe everyone did get them, but I'm a nobody, remember?
I think they went out in February, Chief. February or March. When did we switch? I think we got the email to create the
new. Yeah, it probably was. I'm not exactly sure, but we'll, Mr. Thomas, you get a hold of me tomorrow and we'll take care of you.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. All right, where were we?
You were at committee reports.
Okay. Committee reports. Volunteer committee. Is there a volunteer committee? Anybody here present to talk?
Paul's not here, but okay. I can tell you that we had planned a virtual meeting tomorrow to have some discussions actually with an insurance representative to discuss the benefits possibly of coming together with all the volunteer companies under one policy. That meeting's getting postponed until August due to just some scheduling difficulties. So really nothing to report. Hopefully we have a meeting in August and we can give you guys a better report then.
Okay. All right. That's good. Okay. Pension subcommittee, do you guys have anything to report, progress from last time? Charles, I guess Charles was taking the lead on that one.
Looks like we might have lost him.
Technology's great when it works, huh?
I do see the Mr. Rooney. I see that Lester Rhodes is in here. Maybe we can unmute Les, and if there's any developments with that committee, maybe he can report.
Okay, you can do that, right? I can't do that, Lester Rhodes.
There's Les.
I'm here. The committee is still awaiting some questions that we had from Fulton Bank after a committee meeting about 3 weeks ago. We had a Zoom meeting maybe almost a month ago and with Fulton Bank, and they were getting back to us with some policy verbiage and some answers to questions on investments. Other than that, I don't think Mr. Rooster has anything else to share. Other than that,
I'm back.
Okay. I'm going to mute myself again, Chief.
Okay.
Okay, Charles, you there? Do you want to add to Lester made a brief comment about you're waiting on some more information for your committee?
Yes, I did actually have some dialogue with Elizabeth Harris at Fulton Financial Advisors. She was close to completing her work, although there was a family emergency in her family that she disclosed to me yesterday afternoon. So we do not have the response yet that the subcommittee had put together. So alas, we were running a little bit behind a schedule that I had had. But nevertheless, we hope to hear something soon. And, I certainly keep George and Mr. Rhodes up to speed with regard to our progress on that. And certainly when we have a revised plan, we'll let you know. Just to bring everybody up to speed on what we're looking for is we're trying to expand the investment policy. The initial proposals from Fulton Financial Advisors, the subcommittee thought were a little too liberal in terms of the equity concentration, and so we've asked for maybe dialing that back and get some clarity on some of their other points. And we hope to have that refined package back, hopefully in time to review in August.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm sure Austin will have more questions than I would have, so that would give time for him to get his questions ready for you guys for next month. All right, we'll move on to resolutions and agreements. What do we have on? Do we have anything on?
Nothing.
Okay, I didn't think so. I was looking there. Okay, we'll move on to minutes from the June 16th meeting. Does everybody have a chance to look at the minutes, or are there any questions or revisions or
I will only add that I apologize. I have not gotten over to sign them. I was out of the office from June 18th on a much protracted period of time, and I'm still catching up, but I will get over Lori to sign those.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes? Does anybody?
So moved.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
I heard Lisa's.
Okay, Lisa Winger.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Let's take the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next agenda item. Let me get back to here. Okay. We have old business. Fire department billing. I think you sent us the new information, Chief. Do you want to talk about that, summarize?
After the June meeting, commission members directed me to go back to Pennsylvania Fire Recovery and inquire whether or not we could just simply choose to bill for motor vehicle related incidents. The answer I got was absolutely. That's no problem. because it's entered into the records management system as a different different call type, a different assigned number. It's easy to parse that out very, very quickly. So I prepared a memo to demonstrate what the projected revenue is. Now, he normally advises of about a 44.5%, 45% collection rate. He based our numbers off of the call volume we provided to him. He calculated between 40% and 42% recovery rate. And in the memo that was a part of your packet, you see what he projected for 2018 and 2019, just dealing with four specific call types, all related to motor vehicle incidents. Okay. What would be required of us is minimal. We're already capturing the data from every incident we go to. We would just simply need to capture a little bit more information at the scene of the call to include in our report, and he can pull the information right out of our records management system. In preparation, just in case this was viewed favorably by the commission members, I also sent a copy of their standard billing or billing services agreement to Solicitor Havas and ask him for his opinion and some suggestions. And Victoria alluded to that a little bit earlier. The billing services agreement that has been included as a sample in your packet is the one that was rewritten by Stock and Leader and has already been verbally agreed to should we approve this by Pennsylvania Fire Recovery. I think it's I know Manchester years ago with a different vendor billed for highway incidents as a form of a little bit of cost recovery for the fire department. We anticipate bigger things with this group. And, I think it's a way for us to try to recover some of the costs, for the apparatus, sitting on the highway, and the equipment that we use, the flares, the traffic control devices, the oil dry that we end up dispensing, you know, to cover fluid leaks and so on, that otherwise is part of our budget with no hopes of recovery for most of that stuff. So I think it's an opportunity for us to generate a little bit of income and help offset our costs for highway incidents.
I guess did everybody have a chance to look in their packet for the, I don't know if you have it, Chief, to put up that memo or with a summary.
I can. It'll take me a second to find it.
Now, one question. I know we talked about this, I guess, last month. How do we? I guess my question is: okay, let's say we have a resident in our, you know, area that's driving on the highway, and there's an incident. How do you differentiate when not bill a resident that already pays taxes from pass through folks? Do we have a way to do that? I wasn't clear if we have a method to accurately do that.
No, and my understanding from Solicitor Havas was that we would basically, if we're only billing for certain call types, we would bill everyone that fell under that call type. But I guess the conversation last month was, you know, with the volume of traffic that we have on Route 30 and 83 that really is pass-through traffic, that would be preferable than billing for house fires, which you know is going to be a township resident. It's all, you know, a resident of one of the townships that's already paid their taxes for the services that we provide. But if it's on the highway, it doesn't matter where you live. The insurance is going to be getting billed. And there again, we're not going to go after a resident. If their insurance says they're not paying, then one that doesn't pay. I made that perfectly clear when I started discussions with this gentleman, was that I wanted no contact from his company with our residents, because we weren't going to be chasing people down. That was how I felt about it.
Okay. So that's the filter for people. If a person doesn't have insurance, they're not going to get stuck with a bill. And, you know, especially if they do,
if they don't have the insurance, you know, if they don't have vehicle insurance, they're in deeper trouble than just getting, we're not going to send anybody to collections or anything of that nature.
Okay. Does anybody else have questions or comments or on this?
I guess 35% seems a bit steep. Is that the best we got on this?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that, Mr. Rooster?
I'm sorry. Am I seeing it correctly? And did it make it through the revision that the company will get 35%? Whatever we collect.
No, they will get 15%. The 35% that you're referring to is if it goes longer, that they would send more correspondence. They'd have more time invested in corresponding with the insurance company. That's where the higher amount would come into play. But the typical their typical rate is going to be 15%.
Okay. Well, I guess regardless, it's money that we ain't getting.
Yeah, exactly.
Chief Hoff, do you see any downside to this? Any negatives from a fiscal perspective or legal?
I really don't. It's acceptable to do most, many insurance companies actually build that in for reimbursement for emergency services. And again, if somebody, most people will probably won't even know it's happening because it's going to be dealing with their insurance company, not them personally. And for somebody that would maybe tell their insurance company, absolutely no, don't pay them. If that happens, that's one out of how many, I did ask the gentleman how many times he's received pushback complaints. I've asked my colleagues throughout the state that are using him. And none of them have reported any negative feedback from the community.
Okay. Is this something that we need to announce, do some sort of press release saying that we're doing this, or just slip it in there and, you know, let the people find out about it after that as it starts to go in? That's probably a broader question for the commission.
I really hadn't thought about that. I'll do whatever I'm directed to do.
Yeah, I guess that's the other question. Have other departments, have they kind of like gone out and maybe used this as a reminder to drive safely because this is what we're doing, or they just didn't even bother? They just engaged and then it started to show up in the various incident reports and people were starting to figure it out.
I'm not aware of anybody that has put out any type of press release or anything to indicate that they were doing this. So I really can't.
We're discussing it here in a public meeting, so it's not like it's a secret.
Right.
And we're not going to be charging our residents. It's only those that would be from out of the region. So I don't feel like we need to make a press release.
Charging our residents if they're in a vehicle incident. Is that correct, Chief?
Right. It's going to be all vehicle incidents. Yes. Yeah, if you refer to the memo, you'll see four different incident types. There's accidents with injuries, accidents with no injuries, then with entrapment or involving an extrication, and then general vehicle cleanup, because we get a ton of those. You know, the police call us because there's fluid or there's glass on, or body parts on, I mean, vehicle body parts, on the roadway, you know, that we get called out to clean up. Those are the four call types that we're going to be responding to, and we're going to get the information from the driver regardless of where, because it has to be applied evenly. But
exactly. So you have to be able to demonstrate some sort of reasonable, rational distinction between the people that you are and are not charging. And Steve and I discussed it, and unless you can provide a distinction between residents and everybody else driving through, you run the risk of a treatment problem where you're not treating people the same way,
disparate treatment,
the same protection.
Yeah, and I think that what we discussed last time was the suggestion that, hey, we're not gonna talk about the people that you know, house fires and so on, because we know without a doubt those are our residents. If we're gonna bill, let's bill for vehicle accidents, because that is the bulk of our call volume, for one. And if we're billing for those four types across the board, then we're not singling anybody out.
I guess if you want transparency, it can be put in the chief's letter that he sends out, newsletter, if you want to be transparent. However, Victoria did say that it is public. It's made public now because of our meeting. It's all depends on how we all feel about it.
I actually think the newsletter would be a good idea to include that in the comments in the newsletter, because we do post that for the public, as well as send it out. We actually send it. Our mailing list is countywide. Just about every municipality in the county gets our newsletter.
Oh, yeah. I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, the more I think about it, I think as long as, you know, we promote it a little bit, we don't have to go over the top, you know, but, you know, put it in the, you know, drive safe here, you know, because this is what we're doing. And, you know, other fire companies could be doing the same thing. So if we get more safe drivers because of this, make them think about it, ultimately a financial decision, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But I think the newsletter would be fine.
Okay, great.
Okay, wait. I have one other quick question, just to, if a devil's advocate here, looking at if an insurance company still pays, are there potentially folks that have high deductibles or copay? They might have to pay a large insurance copay. Is that, did you discuss that or talk to that with these folks?
You cut out part of your messenger, Mr. Rennie. Could you say that again?
Oh, sorry. Let's say insurance would pay, or there's some insurance plans that would charge their insuree a copay or deductible for that cost. Like the insurance might pay 80% and they have to pay 20 or something like that. Is that a possibility too? Or did that come up?
That never came up in discussion. I would imagine since we're dealing with a vehicle accident, there's always the possibility that, as a result of the accident, somebody's insurance rates could go up. That's going to happen whether the fire department bills or not, you know, with an accident. So, but we never discussed anything of that sort.
Yeah, I guess, Dan, to your point, the way I was thinking it through is that, you know, whoever's in an accident is going to have higher insurance rates most likely next cycle, because we're going to engage in this program and we have this company that's going to get us some money for our additional costs. It's an additional cost for that accident. And so those rates could be that proportionally higher for the insurer.
Well, right. I guess there'll be a minimal impact, you know, at some point because the insurance, you know, it'll be incremental, I would imagine, but.
Sure.
All right. Am I still on? Because Charles was glitching, but I don't know if that was me or.
No, Charles. You're locking up occasionally. I think Mr. Wooster's frozen.
Okay. one more quick question. In that agreement, where does it say anywhere that if the insurance doesn't collect, we're not going to go after folks? Is it explicitly written in that agreement? Or is it just, are we doing that honor system? I mean, is that just something we're policy-wise, we're not going to pursue?
Honestly, I don't recall. I would have to go back and look at it. I don't remember that exact language being part of this. So it would kind of be on the honor system, but also, you know, this agreement allows us to also terminate within 30 days if for any reason we're not satisfied with the service. So if they do something that's not agreeable to us, we have the ability to sever the relationship pretty quickly. And I think Mr. Rooney's frozen up now.
It's not a flattering picture.
So, and unfortunately, I guess we got to wait till one of them comes back so we have four people to vote. There's Mr. Wooster.
I am back. It's a thunderstorm. What can
I
say?
I was going to say it's storming. So,
what was that about productivity and Zoom meetings as opposed to in person? At any rate, so did you vote already? I presume.
No. We had to wait for you to come back in, so we had to quorum, and because Mr. Rooney locked up and left us as well.
All right. So.
And I would just ask that before you vote, if we could, to include in that vote, so that we can get this started.
Sorry, I glitched out. I'm sorry. I don't know did you catch anything I said?
If I would just ask for approval that I'm okay to sign this agreement, so we can get it started. So August 1st, we're okay to start the relationship with this company.
All right. What I was trying to get at, I don't know if I want to, is could we add verbiage to say in this agreement that we're not going to go after someone who is not covered by insurance? Could we add something to that? Or
I can't tell if he's about to glitch out again, but the agreement says you're agreeing to bill third-party insurers. So
that's covered then.
Right.
Yeah, and even if it isn't, I think that's a management decision rather than something that we need to put in the motion.
Okay. Very good.
Hello? Are you there?
Dan, we saw you one place. Guess we lost.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Hear you now.
All right. Sorry. I think I was trying to switch to another Wi-Fi. All right. Now I see you. All right. Just to encapsulate, can we add verbiage and approve that tonight so we don't bog this down?
So the language in the agreement is to engage them to bill third-party insurers. So I think that covers that.
So we don't need to add in that. So that's redundant then. Okay. All right. Well, then we were looking for a motion then.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the billing services agreement and authorize Chief Hoff to execute the agreement on behalf of the offer as presented.
Lisa Wingert, I'd like to second that motion.
Okay. We have a motion to second. Any further discussion? Anybody raise your hand or speak up, because if you're muted, I don't know. Okay. Hearing no further discussion, we'll take the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Motion Thank you very carries. Much.
I didn't hear any opposition.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any new business, Chief, you want to bring up, or anyone else?
I have nothing.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments or new business other than what we discussed earlier for next month? Okay. Then I'll look for a motion for adjournment. Is there a motion for adjourning the meeting?
So moved.
All right. I have a first, a second.
Second, Lisa Wengert.
All right. We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Thank you all for joining us this month. We'll hope to see you next month.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Right. Good night.
Take care.
Good night.
All right.
Night.
Bye-bye.
So, Dan, where are you?
I'm in Maine.
You're in Maine. Okay. Well, that's quite a ways.
I've been outside Augusta. We're at a campground outside Augusta.
Ah, good for you. Well, enjoy.
It's every time I hear reports down there, York's going back to yellow. I'm like, why don't I stay up here? There's like one or two cases of COVID up here a day, you know. So, but I think yeah. I'm coming back this week.
I wish I knew exactly what was really going on, but anyway, stay safe. Enjoy your trip to the Granite State. Wait, what's Maine? What's Maine State? What's its New Hampshire's the Granite State, right?
It's a vacation land or something.
Okay.
Vacation state. I think that's the motto on the tag.
All right.
Enjoy. All right. Take care. We'll see you guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.